All right. Take it away, Laura.
Well, good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, December 9th, 2014, and we are coming together through the Strengths Strategy Program as certified coaches, and today we'll be practicing modeling the skill of ICU acknowledgement. I'm Laura Schneiber, and my co-host is Ann Strong. We're both from the Redwood One group, and we have on the call with us today, why don't you go and introduce each of yourselves and list your top five strengths, and why don't you go ahead and add with that what impact ICU acknowledgement has either had on yourself or on a client that you've coached. So do you want to start, Brad?
Sure, great. Brad Scott, and my top five strengths are learner, context, ideation, achiever, and input. So quite a few strengths that fall into the strategic domain. I would say for me at this point, ICU acknowledgement and its impact has been more so in terms of how I've been using it, even outside of the folks that I've been coaching. I've really tried to make it a point to recognizing that I work in an organization of nearly 5,000 employees. I've really made it a point of using ICU acknowledgement with those that I interact with on more of a frequent basis. And I can't begin to tell you the, well, I'll give you an example. I used it on one of my counterparts who happened to be in the southern part. Yep.
Save your example for the next part. Okay. Thanks, Brad. Okay. Nermeen, do you want to go next?
Sure. My top five are adaptability, empathy, maximizer, connectedness, and achiever. And ICU acknowledgements, when I've used them, I feel like people really, they feel seen, and they feel appreciated, and there's, you know, just a little bit more of a bounce in their step. Afterwards, it's amazing what a few simple words, heartfelt, and with some impact, what an impact they really can have.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to go next?
Sure. My top strengths are maximizer, empathy, connectedness, activator, individualization, and I use my top six. My sixth is strategic. And I noticed since I listened to the recording that Deanna did, I can't remember who, Lucy, I've been sort of like what you described, Brad, thinking to do it with my clients for sure, but also other place that I notice something wonderful. Like I often tell my assistant how grateful I am for her, but I realized with an ICU acknowledgement, I could take the time to say specifically what I'm grateful for and how that makes me feel and what I imagine is true for her other clients. And I mostly communicate with her through email near me, so I couldn't see the spring in her step. But with my empathy, I could feel it.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, it takes a little bit more time. It takes a little bit greater focus. But, oh, my goodness, the payoff for somebody to have that, it's amazing.
Thank you, Anne. I'm Laura Schneiber, and I'm responsibility activator, belief, developer, individualization, and I'll add my six is deliberative. And I have really appreciated, since hearing the recording, remembering that it is not just a compliment, and that, as Anne said, you have to actually delve a little deeper and find a specific attribute and share the impact. So I think that I might have gotten a little lazy at how I've been doing them, and I've appreciated having this reminder so that I can make sure that I point out what the impact the person is having. So what we'll do then is we'll have we'll each give an example of share a story or an example of when we have seen our strengths in action or when we've been using our strengths. And then we'll have one person be in charge of giving an ICU acknowledgement for that story. So, Brad, why don't we have you start, and Anne, if you can give him the ICU acknowledgement. And then, Nermeen, if you could give an example, and then I'll give you the acknowledgement. And then we'll switch and let Anne give an example. And Nermeen can give the acknowledgement. I hope you guys are writing this down.
No.
Okay, I am.
I got it, I think.
All right, so let me read it to you. Brad gives the story. Brad gives the example. Anne gives the acknowledgement. Nermeen gives the example. Laura gives the acknowledgement. Then Anne gives an example. Nermeen gives the acknowledgement. Then Laura gives the example, and Brad gives the acknowledgement.
That works.
Okay. Brad, before we get started, would you do me a favor and tell me your strengths in order again, please?
Sure. They are learner, context, ideation, achiever, and input.
Thank you.
So just
okay,
so I'm
Brad,
clear,
let's start.
You're right. So just so I'm clear, as my strategic needs, we are to give an example of an ICU acknowledgement that we have given someone, or we're supposed to speak to how we see ICU acknowledgements as they relate to our strengths. I guess I'm not real clear
okay.
on what we're
doing. In the recording, Deanna asked for Lucy to give an example, talk about a time or an example when she had felt like her strengths were firing and in sort of strengths in action. So if you can, you can use the story that you were just going to talk about, but what we're trying to do is just have a real life experience that you can talk about where you felt like you were using your strengths. And that way it makes it easier for Anne to give an acknowledgement on how she saw your strengths in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thanks for that. And again, I apologize for not having had the chance to hear the recording, which I'm sure would have helped as well.
So the other thing you might need to know, Brad, before you jump in, is we'll each have about 5 minutes to tell the story, and it can be anything that you feel like you want to share about when you were really excited and engaged. And then the person giving the ICU acknowledgement will have a couple of minutes to give the acknowledgement before we move on to the next pair.
Okay. I appreciate
okay.
that. Just thinking about my strengths and, times when I really feel like my strengths are being able to fully contribute and are being utilized for really supporting others and for the benefit of the larger whole, which, again, speaking to my strategic strengths, tends to be kind of the world by and large that I live in, is really when I can be seen and actually be utilized as a resource for people. So with that in mind, it's a lot of what I'm finding my strengths allow me to do is to really help people sort through whatever the situation is that they are involved in and start to kind of parcel out specific elements of that situation that might go to really help inform or help them see what's going on in a way that they weren't recognizing at all, they weren't relating to. So I think my strengths, you know, really are a combination of what allows me to kind of problem solve with people and do some level of kind of root cause analysis to really help them figure out in their own way, you know, what's going on and how they need to continue working with people through that situation, which oftentimes can, you know, suggest that they think about a different strategy or a way of approaching the situation. So just generally speaking, I mean, that's how I have come to an understanding my strengths more, see their application, see how they, you know, are able to make contribution really in support of other people. Does
so,
that
Brad,
help?
Do you have
Does
a
that...
specific example of a time you did that with a particular person?
Absolutely. In fact, I was so energized, I kid you not, by this situation that I actually sent Deanna a note saying, hey, this ICU stuff is really great. And I truly mean that, because what I'm finding with ICU acknowledgments is, at least for me, it really, and this is coming from somebody that doesn't hold a lot of relationship strengths, it really is effortless. It's listening to what you're hearing people talk about and reframing it for them in a way where they understand how their strengths and who they are showing up and are contributing in a way that really has much more of an impact than what they're aware of. And so with my counterpart, she and I happen to be in a small group working on some statewide IT issues. And she's just the kind of person that is so phenomenal at, and while I don't know her strengths, I would suggest that one of her strengths is that of a ranger. She just has a phenomenal gift of being able to, in this small group setting, take any number of pieces to the larger situation and not only arrange it, but in a way that is so meaningful, is so powerful in helping to keep the group grounded in what it is that we're doing. I couldn't happen to notice that in one of our first conversations. I just came out and I acknowledged that. I said, you know, you just, the way in which you're able to kind of capture all the pieces that are out there and add meaning to them by arranging them in a way, and this, in this case, it happened to be, you know, chronologically, that helps keep the group moving forward and yet grounded at the same time what we're doing, I said, is awesome. I mean, it's something that she needed to understand through my eyes. I very clearly see her natural ability to be able to do. And, you know, I could sense she was very moved by that at the time I mentioned of it. But I didn't anticipate that after our meeting that day, she actually called me up on the phone and said, I just need to let you know that I was so moved by what you said, it brought me to tears. And I would like to think and truly believe that ICU acknowledgement is the skill that has so helped me, again, tending to live in a strategic world, really form relationships with people that probably would be otherwise difficult to do. And relationships that have a level of genuineness to them and quality. So that was my example. As much as it impacted and was powerful and moving for her, it was very much the same experience for myself.
So that's time. I don't know how you knew that. Does that feel complete for you?
It does.
Okay. So I'm just so tickled to be able to acknowledge you about this, because what I heard was you have found a key that links your strategic thinking strengths to more deeper, more meaningful, more impactful relationships. And what an amazing thing you've done, that your particular way of seeing and thinking about things and then using this ICU tool allows you to acknowledge somebody in such a meaningful way that they reach out to you and tell you it made them cry. I mean, that just... that makes my empathy heart really happy. I can only imagine how seen and happy she felt. And I would imagine now that you have a real concrete understanding of how to use this in that way, that you can do this for many other people, like it may become second nature to you.
Right. Yeah, I would say you're spot on. I couldn't have said it, couldn't have reframed it or captured it any better than you had, Anne. Yeah. And you know, the neat thing about the feedback in that regard is it helps for me then to also hear what it is that you're noticing and seeing, and that explanation that I may not have fully acknowledged or recognized myself.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat that ICU acknowledgement really ends up, my experiences are working both ways. You're not only acknowledging and recognizing the person that's on the receiving end, but there is oftentimes a level of feedback that's reciprocated that goes to help all of us be more informed about how our strengths really are showing up and impacting others.
Yeah.
So thank you, Anne.
You're totally welcome. So,
well,
Laura, who's
Brett
the next pair?
Yeah. Okay, Nermeen will give the example, and I will give the acknowledgement. And then on deck is Anne giving the example, and Nermeen giving the acknowledgement, okay?
Okay. Great. I'll share with you an experience I had over the Thanksgiving holiday. We had family visiting from out of town, my uncle and his wife and my cousin. And so John and Sarah. So Sarah is a recent law graduate, and she's working for a firm, and she's new at what she does. She's very diligent, very precise, and wants to be exact and do everything right. And she had, as one of her colleagues took an extended vacation, and she had to pick up some of her work, and was working over the holidays. And they traveled on Thursday. They arrived on Thanksgiving, and she didn't have enough time to finish before they left. So she was working through the weekend and felt very. She was stressed. There were things that we were doing together that she opted out of in order to finish her work. And, the arrangement she had made with her boss was that she would have everything, these materials needed to be delivered to the client on Monday. And for some reason, you know, she was under the impression, she's under the impression that she would be able to ship something same day or overnight on Sunday from FedEx. And I had never heard of such a thing, but I didn't question it. This is, you know, part of, you know, perhaps some of the work that she does, and, you know, she's able to make those arrangements. Come Saturday, she, you know, finally started to make some, you know, she was wrapping up her work and started to make some calls and to arrange for a package to be shipped, and she found that she couldn't, the last pickup would have been at 1:30, and then at absolute final from a different location would have been 5 o'clock on Saturday, not Sunday, in order to arrive. Anyway, so she was, by Saturday afternoon, she was very stressed out and very upset. I found myself just making myself completely available to her. I felt her anxiety and stress, rather than, you know, just borrowing a car and giving her directions to where the FedEx office was. I drove her to FedEx. We went up and spoke, you know, went to the counter together, and we got the explanation about needing to make this. It's not something they can do for her in the office. They have to make a phone call. As soon as they said, you have to, we don't do it out of here, you have to make this phone call, I saw her starting, felt her, she was going to tear up. I said, well, why don't you go start printing, and I will, let me make the phone call for you. So I made the phone call and started to get information and stayed by her through the whole process. We went back and forth. You know, it was going to be quite expensive to actually have the same day from a Sunday night into Monday. She was a little bit worried about the cost to the firm. She thought about, maybe I'll drive up to Vermont, and I'm here in Rochester, New York. Maybe I'll drive. I'll rent a car and drive up to Vermont and deliver it on Monday. We explored lots of options together. The point at the end of the day, what I found myself doing was I really stuck by her side and was a sounding board for different options. Was the one that made the phone call to FedEx and got the necessary information to make the arrangements and get her past the issue, you know, and sort through it. And was there encouraging her to make the phone call to her boss and explain things and follow through when she got home on Monday, you know, after her work day on Monday to see how things went. I also encouraged her to, you know, we stood up and we prayed together because, you know, there are things that we have in our control and things that we don't. And, you know, she was doing the best she could. And she got the job done. At the end of the day, the package, the arrangements were made and the package was delivered.
That's time.
It's time. All right.
Well, that was such a good example of your strength, Nermeen. I mean, I could, first of all, see how you immediately used your adaptability to adapt to the circumstances and change what you were going to be doing in order to accommodate her important plans. And then connecting with her, feeling that anxiety that she had, putting yourself right in there with her probably gave her hope and made her feel like, I'm not alone. And I imagine that she probably didn't have all the answers. And so just having your great mind and your achiever, you know, kind of, this is what we need to do. This is an executing, you know, this is how we can execute that, probably really helped her get clarity at a time where she might have shut down just because of all the anxiety that she was having.
Mm-hmm.
And I think connecting with her in prayer was probably the most powerful thing you could have done with her. I just really felt when you said that, I felt like that probably brought a sense of calm to her and helped her realize we've done everything we could that's in our control. And because I have this assistant on my side, Nermeen, I've even done better than I could have done. And I think that probably made such, you know, it kind of probably gave her a warmth and an ability to be calm and know that she had done what she could do, which in the end was probably almost like a good calming medicine for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that each one of your strengths was probably showing up to come to the rescue and help somebody who will probably never forget how you helped her.
Mm-hmm.
So that was wonderful. How did this acknowledgement, ICU acknowledgement, make you feel? Brad gave us an example of how it made him feel.
It's interesting because I had stepped back and reflected on it because I think for me I marveled at how easy all of it came for me. Like I didn't stress out about what I was missing out with the family or what else was going on. I just felt the need to stick right by her. And what was interesting was that you picked out, you connected to all of my strengths. You pulled out how adaptability, empathy, all of them, how they played out. And I kind of just, you know, I just considered one of them. I saw the empathy at play, but you brought it all together for me and saw how all five of them were really at play in the moment. Thank you for that.
Empathy might have just sat down with her and cried. So, empathy alone would not have gotten that job done, you know what I mean? Trust me.
Yeah. No, thank you for that. Yes, I reflected on my own. I only saw one of them. You brought all of them to the forefront. Thank you.
Okay. Anne, would you like to give your example? And Nermeen, you'll be giving her the ICU.
Yep. Thank you.
Laura, can you keep track of the 5 minutes and the 2 minutes, please?
Yep.
Thank you. So, Nermeen, I have to tell you, I was listening to the beautiful way you did that, and we have so many similar strengths. I just felt you right there, and I'm like, what in the world am I going to talk about? But I've thought of something else, but I want you to know that at a certain point, I was crying. It was so beautiful for both of you. I was, like, so touched and happy for Sarah and for you. So there's empathy on empathy on empathy.
On empathy.
So the story I want to tell you is a personal life story because I'm here in New Mexico and have only lived here for 2 months. Everything is new. And one of the things I've done to kind of keep myself grounded is I've kept some of my really important routines, like I walk every day and I go to yoga twice a week. So I'm doing that. But it's in all new places. And the yoga is easier. I go to a yoga studio, there it is. But I'm in this beautiful, wide open space where there's lots of places to walk. And at the same time, I'm never sure if I'm on private property or if there's going to be dogs. So I've found this new place to walk that's a preserve. So there's trails and it's orderly and it's open. And, oh, it's so beautiful. And I'm loving it. I'm loving walking there, and I'm loving walking at dusk. So I have this new routine of taking sunset pictures almost every day. And I'm thinking, good grief, what am I going to do with 365 sunset pictures? Well, 365 different sunsets, you know, 10, 20, 30 pictures of each. And then on top of that, I moved from Denver to New Mexico with lots of rocks, because I am not an input person by nature, but I do collect rocks, and rocks are heavy. And when I put some of my rocks out here, they looked very familiar to the ones on the ground. And I lived in New Mexico 15 years ago, and I'm thinking, good grief, I lugged these rocks from New Mexico back to Colorado, back to New Mexico. I need to do this a little more strategically. So I have this brand new practice while I'm walking every day of picking up a rock or two or three, but teeny ones, like lima bean size maybe. And I have this beautiful white ceramic dish that I put black sand in, and every day I make kind of an art piece out of 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 rocks. And then the next day, take all those out and start over with new rocks. So I have this way of satisfying the urge to collect without collecting. Oh, and if I'm inspired, I take a picture of the cool art structure thingies. But I'm stunned by how much I love that they're impermanent, because I'm a very grounded, rock-oriented person. And it's like, that's okay. Tomorrow there'll be new rocks. Tomorrow there'll be a new way they're configured in this sand. So it's ended up that I have these three things I'm doing: walking, collecting rocks, taking pictures of the sunset. And they're integrated and they're extremely fulfilling. And while I don't have many friends yet, I have rock friends and the friends that is called the sunset. And I never see anyone in this big, wide-open preserve. So that's my story of something that's completely engaging and energizing for me right now.
And I'm seeing, I see connectedness. You know, blown away that you've moved from Denver to New Mexico, and you've been to so many different places. You brought the rock video from Denver and made them a part of your landscaping, your environment in New Mexico. And there's this to feeling connected, you must have had really great experiences, or there's something that you loved about Denver that you want, that you brought back with you, and have it right there, and that you're doing these, this routine every day, your walks and your the yoga, the pictures of the sunset, and collecting. I see. You said something interesting about these rocks. There's just this. That there's something. If you collect them every day and you add to them, and then you take a picture and you add some more, you continue to expand this beautiful structure that you're building. And I see maximizer here, that you every day you are continuing to grow and to expand on the things that you're doing, and you see this beautiful thing grow in front of you, and it's a compilation of your experiences. So when you might have gone one certain path and grabbed rocks one day, and another day you've gone to grab some others. So this, you're creating this connected environment and continuing to grow it. I see all of your stream.
Your time is up, Nermeen.
Okay.
You want to finish, wrap it up?
Okay? So it's amazing how that you are pulling it all together and staying connected to the things that are important to you.
Thank you. I want to clarify one thing. I am not growing the collection. Every day I have to take all the rocks out and start over.
Oh my goodness.
So that is this huge growth because it doesn't get to keep growing. I have to get it that it's impermanent but still connected. So it's a real spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
Okay,
every day. It's
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Okay, Brad, now I'm going to give an experience and you're going to give the acknowledgement, okay? So my experience is, I'm like Anne, in a new place. I've just moved down to Texas. And I've started attending a new church group down here. And one of, they're having a party tonight to celebrate Christmas. And somebody called me, who I'd never met before, and asked me if I could be part of the program and give a 4 or 5 minute talk or presentation about what gift I could give or might want to give the Savior this season. Because it's a whole presentation about gifts that you can give to people. So I've been thinking a lot about what I would say, what my gift to the Savior could be. And I have been so taken by this revisiting ICU acknowledgement that I just thought, you know, if more people in the world were busy looking for what's good in people that they meet, then that could create quite a chain reaction. And if I could leave people, even people that I don't know, so new people that I meet, if I could listen to their story or somehow listen to them long enough and deep enough that I can figure out a strength and then point that out to them and give them an acknowledgement, how I could perhaps leave them better and give them a small gift that would be, in a way, what maybe the Savior would have given when he was on the earth. Because in my mind, he brought love and he brought light and he was interested in each one of us. So I decided that I'm going to give a little, so that's going to be my gift to people when I meet them, is I'm going to try and know them well enough or find something about them and give them an ICU acknowledgement. And I'm going to talk about that as my gift tonight when I give that presentation. And hopefully model that behavior, and maybe other people will be able to also do that. And we can start kind of a chain reaction. So that's my example.
That's great. You know, it didn't take me long at all to really hear how important for you having a clear, grounded understanding of who you are, your values are so important to you, and how that goes to really speak to how you engage with other people, how you create a level of personal connection with people. And it wasn't just the example that you gave about centered around, you know, the church and your faith. I mean, I really did hear how so important, you know, having an established value system is for you. And you're not content on just stopping there. You're really wanting to see what's important to other people and how you, in sharing your understanding of who you are and how you've gotten to be at this place and time in life, can maybe help them kind of grow in their own way. And that's neat, because I don't think there are a lot of people out there that genuinely are interested in establishing those authentic connections with people. So it's a great example.
Oh, thank you. And I just realized that as you said that again, I had been thinking that it mostly spoke to my belief strength. But now that you say that, I realize that individualization is really playing, and also developer, and activator is making it all happen by giving a talk about it. So thank you. I hadn't realized that.
Yeah, you know, and I give you the acknowledgement somewhat intentionally, if you will, and not really kind of calling out the specific strengths, in part not knowing if that's what we were to do or not. But I think, at least in my experience, given an ICU acknowledgement that speaks specifically to what it is that you're noticing and the impact of it, really can help, as it did for you, get the person to really reflect on, okay, given my strengths, you know, what is it really speaking to? Because the truth of the matter is that in looking at your strengths, I mean, in listening to what you were saying, you could see every one of your strengths in your top five coming forward. I mean, I could clearly hear the developer in you, okay? Again, it wasn't good enough that you kind of had this, you know, baseline of knowledge centered around what's important to you. It's that you wanted to share that in an important way with others to help maybe further where they're at. And that's a large part of course, of what a developer is interested in doing. So, I mean, clearly you were really speaking to, and I heard every one of your strengths as you were explaining the situation and kind of the impact that you were having at that time.
Well, thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. Okay, so how much time, Timekeeper, do we have left? 10 minutes, 15 minutes? Why don't we go through, and does anyone want to share? I think we've each had a chance to share how ICU acknowledgement has impacted us today. And does anyone else have anything to share about modeling this ICU acknowledgement? Does anyone have any more comments?
You know, the only thing I would offer, and I speak to this in part because I know for myself it's something that I need to continue to work on. But in ICU acknowledgement, I think part of the messaging that goes with that is so important for all of us to keep in mind is it doesn't have to be, and really shouldn't be, this kind of long, protracted, you know, level of recognition you're giving to somebody. It's, you know, what are you noticing, what are you seeing, what are you appreciating in that person, and what is the absolute impact? You know, what's the reality of what that is bringing about in terms of an effect? And really trying to keep it at that. I think, at least for me, you know, my natural tendency is to kind of start speaking, you know, a whole litany about, geez, you know, how great this is, and did you recognize that, and, you know, were you aware of this, and just kind of, you know, speak to it in terms of bringing everything together, and that's really not what's important. It's speaking very genuinely and as a matter of fact to what are you experiencing with that person, and trying to tell them that in a way where they can understand how that's being reflected back through another set of eyes.
And so in your mind, keeping it short and concise and to the point is important?
I think it is without question. Right, yeah, I apologize. I didn't mean to cut you off. I think, and again, this is something that I have really needed to be very conscientious about, because I am somebody who can keep going on and on and on and feeling like, did I explain it well enough? Maybe I need to keep going. I think by and large, clear, succinct, specific to the situation by far has, I think, the most impact, provides the most powerful exchange that a person can have. And in an example that I had given earlier, I mean, that it wasn't so much that I worked on making sure it was short and concise, it just the situation lended itself to me not only acknowledging the person, but being able to do it in a way where I spoke very kind of as a matter of fact to what was going on and the impact that it really has on me and what I'm noticing of how it's beneficial mm-hmm. to others. And I wonder if that really kind of short kind of snapshot of recognition is what ended up having some of the impact, the powerful impact it did on that person.
Well, thank you, Brad.
This is Anne, and I agree with you, Brad. I think a couple of sentences describing what you notice, and I don't think it's necessarily important to name the strengths. We kind of were today because we're in the process of this.
Mm-hmm.
But to really say what the wonderful thing was and then to say what the impact was, and maybe that whole thing is three sentences long, so that it's like there's power in its conciseness, which means needing to be really clear on what was the gift, as you're talking about, Laura, and then what was the impact of the gift.
Yeah, so I think if we use that definition, we should go back and each give our ICU acknowledgement again and make them shorter. So that was a good learning experience because I think we each went a little longer than we should have. But and you, in your coaching experience, because you're quite an experienced coach, do you find yourself giving multiple ICU acknowledgments in a coaching session?
I know that Deanna had mentioned that we could or should, and I don't always. I would say sometimes there's two different ones because they have two topics for that day, or there may only be one because that's the thing that really stood out. But if they are just a sentence or two or three, it's easier to have many in a session. But honestly, I don't think I've gotten comfortable enough with the tool. I can't think of a time that I've used three or four or five in one session. But I think it's a great goal if something is seen that clearly and can be talked about that concisely, because if it's as long as the ones we gave each other, that takes up a lot of the coaching session, which kind of then isn't the point.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
I wonder.
Yeah, go ahead, Brad.
Well, I was just going to say, I wonder if there isn't, you know, ICU acknowledgement to me, as I think about it, is about propping your client up. It's about acknowledging something in that person that really speaks to who they are through their strengths in a way to further their strengths understanding of how they show up and how they can make impact on other people. It's something that, at least in my experiences, I tended to use multiple times in coaching conversations when you're meeting with that person initially. And through that process, that helps them further their strength understanding. I'll almost, you know, gets them to a place of strength maturity to where maybe some less use of ICU acknowledgement, you know, becomes into play. So it's kind of propping them up in the beginning, making sure that you are acknowledging them through ICU, and that need tends to lessen as they kind of grow in their own strength understanding. It's kind of been my experience, is, you know, whether that should be the case or, you know, maybe I'm doing something wrong, but that just tends to be what I've found to kind of make sense and kind of fit to where people are at.
Well, thank you.
I have a counterpoint,
Brad,
to that, Brad. I think a lot of times, no matter how much we give ICU acknowledgments, people are still swimming in their own stuff. And to be able to clearly say, I see this thing, and it's special, and it's powerful, and no, everyone else does not do this, I don't think people get tired of that. I don't think they have less of a need. And I think it's demonstrated today by each of us only seeing a strength or two at play, but the person who was listening to us heard almost all or all of our strengths at play. And we're thinking about this all the time. So I don't think it can be overdone as long as it continues to be in the moment, right? Seeing it in another variation.
Right. That's a very good point, and I certainly didn't want to at all imply that once a person's gotten very mature, if you will, in your strengths, appreciation, and application, that ICU acknowledgments aren't important. I, in my experience, really see them being every bit critical to the journey that you're on with somebody when they're starting to figure out exactly what the heck are my strengths about and how do they really go to explain who I am, calling out those, unique elements in somebody can make all the difference in them really landing an understanding of who they are, or maybe not quite so much. So when we think about or consider this idea of ICU acknowledgments repeatedly being used in a coaching conversation, I was just speaking to the fact that I see that, have experienced that being more important on the front end, you know, in those initial 3 or 4 months of coaching conversations, then they have an impact the farther you move somebody towards strength understanding. Again, not to suggest that ICU acknowledgments should stop, clearly they shouldn't. I just think that for most people, while they still have an impact, you're maybe using that ICU acknowledgement in a less frequent way, but in a more critical way to really help them move well beyond what they felt at the time was a level of their strength, understanding, and maturity. So that's a good point, Anne. Thanks for clarifying that or sharing that counterpoint. I appreciate that.
You bet. So we're at the top of the hour, Laura.
Okay. So thank you, everybody, for coming on this call. I appreciate each one of you for sharing and really, really seeing each other. I feel better having been here. And I know that we'll each go from this call with a renewed determination to do it more concisely, more directly, and more often. So thank you.
Yay.
Our next call will be in January. We're not going to have another one this month. So look for it. We'll get some information out at the beginning of January. Do you remember the day? I don't remember the day. We'll have to
I'm looking right now. Yes, it is the 6th of January at 3 p.m. Central Time, and that is a Tuesday.
Okay, great.
Okay. Thank you,
All right,
guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.